Turn with me to the book of Luke, please, and the 22nd chapter, Luke 22. I tried my best to get away from preaching this message. It's a message I've had for a little while, but I've never preached it. And I want to be a help to you and with some of the things that I've been through, and warn you and encourage you at the same time, hopefully. And you pray that God would help us tonight in these days that we live in. We need the Lord more than ever. Satan is real and he's after us, and he'd love to destroy us. And he has destroyed some, but I'm glad that the Lord is there. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we come to you tonight. We're grateful for your presence. I thank you, Lord, that you do love us. Lord, I don't understand why. I don't know why, Lord God, but I really appreciate it from the depths of my heart. You can look in my heart tonight, and I appreciate you loving me. I pray tonight, God, that, Lord, you look to your people in this audience, Lord, and those that might be listening outside of here. And God, Lord, you know exactly what they need. I know what you've placed on my heart tonight. And I pray, God, that you'd speak through me. Lord, take me and set me aside, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray, God, the good Holy Ghost would take this stand. Let me expound on this scripture here, Lord God, exactly what you'd be pleased with, and then sit down. Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. All righty. Luke chapter number 22. I'm interested there in Simon Peter, and verse number 31 through 34. And let's read that together there. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee." Does it say that he wouldn't get you? No. Does it say that he wouldn't harm you? No. Does it say that you wouldn't fall? No. "But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." You're going to find yourself a lot of times in life where the only thing you got left is your faith. And I'm talking about nothing left. He said, "And when thou art converted..." This little converted word here is a word meaning return to. It's not a word that we use for change, but it means to return back to. "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Isn't that interesting? Now, here's a man. Here's a man that's about to deny the Lord three different times, curse his name, and say he doesn't even know who he is. And they are many denominations that believe this is automatic loss of your salvation. You're denying God. You're denying that you know him. You're denying the faith. And even some Baptists believe that. But we know that once we're a child of God, that he is the propitiation for our sins. He is our advocate. Once we're saved, we always saved. But here, if I had to class our sins, and you know, this would be on up there, wouldn't it? Denying Christ pretty much to his face here in front of all his folks, warming himself by the fire of the enemies that's about to take Christ and nail him to an old rugged cross. So we see the severity of this sin. We find in verse 62, it says, "And Peter went out and he wept bitterly." I believe this is a cry that very few folks know. This is a weeping, wailing cry, as if someone has lost one of their dearest loved ones. Some of you have lost your dearest friend. Maybe you've lost your spouse. Maybe you've lost your son, daughter, or you've lost a mother or a father, and you found yourself in this place of weeping, this deep, deep place of weeping, and you know exactly what this is. But here Simon Peter has not lost anybody, but he's weeping over the guilt of his own self. He's crying over his own fault. And wouldn't it be a blessing today if we had some people that was crying and weeping over their sins? And we are all sinners. We're all guilty. There ain't nobody got a halo in the house. I promise you that. Ain't nobody flying here with angel wings. Ain't nobody got no wings. Listen, I've been in this long enough, and I've counseled people, and I've talked to people, and I've wore the shoes, and I know that there's all types of sin, and some of the worst sins that there is the ones that's on the inside. There's some sins that I've done on the outside with this flesh, but then there are some sins that's way worse than anything that I've ever done that you could see that's been on the inside. Am I right about it? Now listen to me, I want you to get this. I want to preach on this thought tonight, being in Satan's crosshairs. And anybody that's ever been a hunter, or if you've been hunting before, you've had multiple deer. Some of y'all fellows that go up north hunting, got them big old bucks up there, you got a big problem on hand. You go out there, you got one tag, and there's four bucks sticks out there, and you're looking for the biggest and the prettiest rack. You're looking for the nicest, and sometimes this will be a little bit bigger, and you're sitting, you're trying to figure out which one to put the crosshairs on because you got one tag. So notice here, notice this character we're talking about tonight is Simon. He's Simon Peter. But let's notice here who this character is. He's the biggest buck. He's the prettiest buck. He's the strongest buck. He is the top of the line. He is the one, listen now, he's the choice of the chosen. Christ chose him out 12 to be his disciples, to follow him and forsake all and go everywhere that he goes. But we notice that Simon Peter here is one of the three, possibly the tip top of the three that was chosen here. We notice in the transfiguration there in the book of Luke, we notice how the Lord chose Peter, James, and John, and he took them up into a mountain, and there he transfigured himself and showed them his spiritual glory. Only three out of the 12. And we notice also Simon Peter being the one in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18 and 19. He said, Simon, he said, Peter, for thou art Peter, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he gave Simon Peter the keys to the kingdom. When the gospel was preached, it was preached first to the Jew, and then the key was unlocked to the door to the Gentile at Cornelius' house. Simon Peter was the key to the gospel reaching you and me through Simon Peter. So he is the elite of the elite. He's one. I don't know of too many men. I don't know of too many men that's ever walked on water. Everybody faults Peter for walking on the water and sinking, but I say he's a pretty bad man to get out there and walk on the water with the Lord. Would you agree with me? Nobody in here wants to walk on no water. You'll drown. Now listen, he was the choice of the chosen. Verse 33 here in our text, not only was he the choice of the chosen, but he was also courageous. He was serious about what he was doing. He told the Lord, he said, listen, I'm ready to go with you and die with you, Lord. I'll go to the cross. And listen, there may be one moment in your life, and you better hear me well, there may be one moment in your life to where you are strong as an ox. And then 30 minutes later, as Satan has desired to sift you, and the Lord allows him to have reign on you, he can weaken you, and he and his power, listen, I'm not glorifying the devil, but he has powers that, honey, you cannot handle. I don't care
I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a teacher. I don't care how much you pray. Listen, I'm telling you that Satan is a power to be reckoned with. And you better be careful. He's a wicked foe. I've seen him, and you have too, almost destroyed my family. Listen, he has destroyed a lot of families. He's destroyed a lot of lives. There's a lot of people that's put a bullet in their head. There's a lot of people that's dead right now because Satan got the best of them. You better be careful. He was courageous. But how about this? John 6 and 67. I want to look at that. John 6. You ain't got to turn, I'll read it. John chapter number 6 and verse number 67. Then said Jesus unto them, unto the twelve, will ye also go away? Well, guess who spoke up? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He was confident. This is a man that's got it all together. This is a man that's got everything. He's got his ducks in a row. He's got everything just ironed out perfectly. Not only was he confident, but he was also convinced. He was convinced. Matthew chapter number 16. I want to read this to you. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 16. The Bible says this, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was convinced. And I wonder tonight, in your spirituality, are you convinced? Are you confident? Are you courageous? Are you bold? Will you go out on the street? Will you witness somebody? You got it. And I want to ask you this. Are you careful, though? Better be careful. Because Satan's gunning for the top of the line. Why in the world would Satan waste his time on somebody that's not going after God? Why? Listen, I'll just be honest with you. I've killed very few. I don't know if I killed one doe accidentally one time. Hope ain't no game wardens in here. But I've never cared nothing about killing does since then because I'm too lazy to drag them out of the woods. It ain't worth it. I guess just to be honest with you, and we might as well be honest since we're in the pulpit, it's a pride thing. A buck don't taste as good as a doe, but it looks a whole lot better hanging on the wall, amen? So therefore, it's a pride thing. Look at what I killed. Amen? Am I right about it? So, I want to say this, be careful tonight. I'm preaching to individuals, maybe somebody that God's had me to preach this, but then again, I want to preach this to Liberty Baptist Church because I feel like Liberty, and I'm not sticking a feather in nobody's hat, not sticking a feather in this hat. I will brag on the church because it's the bride of Christ, but I feel like Liberty is a blessed church. I believe there's a lot of talent here. I believe there's a lot of wisdom here. I believe God has really put His hand on this place. You hear me? Hear me well. And anywhere God's got His hand, you better rest assured that the devil has got His eyes. I can look across this building. I can look across this building on Sunday morning. And listen, I see some very strong people. I see some people who have really got it together. I see some people who have really got it together, I see. And I see the Lord moving in this place. And I see real salvation. I see real salvation. We live in a time to where the gospel is not even heard. It seems like hardly any preachers know what the real, true gospel of Jesus Christ is. It's a shame in this day that we've gotten into, that we've gotten away from what's really real. And I don't want to get off on that. But this character here, this candidate, But then we see this conflict. He said, and the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. That's scary, isn't it? Now, I'm not talking about Satan's going to come up and make you miss the nail while you're hammering and hit your thumb and you pop it and it bleeds a little bit and you say a curse word. I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about. Not talking about you having somebody on I-20 cut you off or do something crazy and you fly off a handle, lose your temper, make gestures toward. I'm not talking about little stuff like, I'm not talking about you and your wife having a spit or spat. I'm not talking about a fuss. I'm not talking about these things. I'm talking about full-blown the devil coming at you with both hands and both feet, everything he's got. We've seen that one other time in a better described way over in the book of Job, chapter 1, chapter 2. We've seen how when God told Satan come before God, and we know the story how that God said, okay, you can have him. Just don't hurt his body. He got all his sons, his daughters, all his cattle, everything he owned was wiped out. Satan come again and asked him, said, listen, you got a hedge about him. I can't. So God give him rain on his body and he got boils on him and he got all kinds of sick. We see in a better described way how that Satan's powers are. Listen, Satan wants to destroy you. Satan has full intentions. He is not playing games. The thief cometh but to what? Kill, to steal, and to destroy. Think about those words and ponder on those. Don't just read over them. Kill, I don't like death. Steal, I don't like to lose things. And destruction, I don't like to be destroyed everything that's ever been. But that's the intentions of our enemy. The conflict is this sifting process. And I wonder, and you may be in this place tonight, I have no idea who I'm preaching to, but I say this, you may, any of y'all ever seen them old-timey sisters where they got the little crank on the side, a little wire that goes in there and the mesh screen and it just flops that stuff around? And you know that flower is just a fluffing in there, fluffing, and it's going around and around, and a little bit's going through at a time on the bottom. It's pretty when it comes out. But when you get done, you see a bunch of junk left on the top. You may be in a place tonight where it feels just like you're being flopped around and sifted and turned upside down and everything. But listen to me, the devil's not going to get all the glory if you'll just hang in there. There's something way down. I found this out by experience. There's something way down on the inside of my soul that surpasses this flesh, that surpasses this mind. It surpasses everything there is. And that's a faith that God has granted me and put down on the inside of me that's stronger than anything that the devil has to offer. And all this other stuff that's on the outside, the devil may get. He may destroy, but he cannot get my soul and my faith because I know my Redeemer lives. I know he lives. And you can believe me not, I've been in some low places. I've been in lower than you can even imagine. But I'll tell you one thing. I know in the lowest and darkest of my nights, I know who my Savior is. And I know what He's done down here. And I believe with all my heart as Simon Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He went out and cried because he knew he loved the Lord. He loved Him. He was broken inside. He was torn inside. He was crushed. Crushed, literally crushed. Because he loved the Lord down in his soul. But his flesh had failed him. His flesh had failed him. But God's got a purpose with this. We're going somewhere. The conflict. You know what this conflict's going to do? It's going to separate some things in your life. You know what God's doing? I will never, as long as I forget, and I'm going to say this, some of you remember it. I remember Brother Craig Edwards preaching a message up here on the tabernacle on Job, on making God look good. How many of y'all remember that? A few of you. Making God look good. And what a message. You know what God is going to choose some of you to do? The devil intended to get Job, and he intended for Job to curse God and die like his wife requested. He intended for Job to turn his back and run on God and never have anything to do with God again. But you know what Job did? He bowed down into ashes, and he worshiped God, and he praised the Lord, and made God look good. You know what God's going to do with some of you? God's going to take you. And he's going to allow Satan to have his way. You know, in plain English, what Satan's saying, if you let me have him for a little bit, he'll curse you to your face. He'll turn his back on you. He'll run. He loves you because of what you give him. He loves you because of what you do for him. He loves you because of everything you've given him. Listen to me. If you let me have him, I'll tear him to pieces and you'll never see him again. God's put something far more valuable down on the inside of us for that to take place. And He'll separate you. He'll separate you. He'll take you apart. I stopped by a wheat field today. I was going to a job site and I was looking at it. And they was fixing to harvest that wheat, big old wheat field over in Oxford. I stopped, got some of that wheat and looked at it and some of them kernels. You know, all that wheat, all that stuff ain't good. About 80% of that inner grain in there is good. And you know what God's going to do to you? And it'll help you. It'll help you. It'll help you. For God to take you and thrash you and break you to pieces and crush you and get the good out where you can see the good. There's some good in you. They are some good in you. Some of you may be discouraged. You may be giving up on yourself, down and out. But I want you to understand this. There is some good in you. And God can get it out of you. And He can use that to be a blessing. But there's a lot of bad in you too. There's a lot of stuff when they winter, it blows out like the shaft. And the wind gets it. Separates you. But He also is interested in softening. This sifting process, he's wanting to soften you. That old flour there, when it's sifted, it sort of fluffs it up a little bit. And yeah, I've been Googling what this stuff does. And that it fluffs that flour up, makes it so pretty. You know, that little pile down there as it falls under that sifter, it's so pretty and fluffed up and it's softened. You know what God is intending? And He's letting Satan do it the whole time. God's sitting back on His... Hey, listen, He's just watching what Satan's doing, and He knows what He's put in you is going to last. And He knows what He's put in you will stand the sifting. He knows it'll take care of itself. And God never saved your flesh. He saved your soul. So He knows what's down in your soul. It's going to come out the bottom of that sifter, and it's going to come forth as gold. And all the junk on the top is going to get thrown out anyway. He's going to change our vile bodies and fashion into His glorious body one of these days. And what God is doing is sitting back and allow Satan to do his work and make you look good and make God look good. He's softening you. And He's sizing you up. This conflict. He's sizing you up to see what's really there. You know what? When you get sifted, when you get crushed apart, you get the old shaft on the outside, you get them wheat hairs taken off of you, and you get all broken to pieces, and you really look at yourself then, you'll see, there ain't a whole lot to me. You'll see, when you really let this take place in your life, you'll see that there ain't a whole lot to you. And let's look at this. There is... In this sizing here, when all this stuff is gone, it's a good weight loss program. It's a spiritual weight loss program. There's a lot of junk in our spiritual lives that we've added in and gained from tradition and gained from folks that, listen, it'll do you good when God goes to sifting. It'll get all the junk off. When you get to the place to where you realize that I am so weak and I am so vulnerable that I could be blown over by a flea. When you realize that, when you realize that you are a nobody, when you realize that I'm not as spiritual as I think I am, I'm not as good as I think I am, that's when you become strong. He said when we're weak, He is strong. That's when God can bless you. That's when God can help you. It's when you realize just who you are and what you are not capable of. I'm glad during this conflict that there is a constable. There is a sheriff in town. Ain't you glad? Watch your Bible. It says, Satan's desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And I'm glad it don't end there. He said, but I. He didn't say he's asked the 12. I didn't ask the 11 disciples to pray for you, Simon. He said, I have prayed for you. He is the referee in all this. He's the one that sets the boundaries. He's the one that sets the rules. He referees the whole thing. And God won't allow Satan to do anything to you that he don't approve of. And that's a tough pill to swallow, but it sure is helpful when you get smack dab in the middle of it. He's the referee. He's a rule maker. He's the rewarder also, this constable. He's the rewarder. You know what's going to happen in this whole picture? And boy, this is a long, drawn-out process. We're talking about right here, all the way to, as if it was reading in John, it being John 21, we notice the story of the Lord coming up, and He eats with His disciples there. Simon Peter's out there naked, doesn't give up. He's done went back to his old profession. He's give up, and he's thrown the towel in. He knows the Lord's real, but I've denied Him. I've turned my back on Him, and He don't want me no more, so I might as well go back to fishing. So he gets out there. Here comes the Lord. Got coals on the side of the lake there. Got fish on the coals. And it don't record that he sat down with John. It doesn't record that he sat down with James, Bartholomew, any of the others, but he did sit down with Simon Peter. Said, Simon, do you love me? Three times he said it, didn't he? You know what Simon Peter's about to do? This blows my mind. Blows my mind. John is a masterpiece. And I'm about done. Hang in there. John, would you agree with me? John the Beloved is a masterpiece. He is the salt of the earth. He is somebody that's amazing. What about Simon Peter's brother that came and he went and he fetched Simon Peter? He's the one that won Simon Peter to the Lord. I'd say he's salt of the earth. Matthew, the tax collector that was changed. We can go on and on. But Simon Peter's the one that's going to kick this thing off and start this. Now, I'm talking about the one that went out. John went to the cross with him. John went to the cross with his mother and really meant what he said. I'm ready to go to the cross with you and I'll die with you. All the rest of them fled, but John went to the cross. But Simon Peter was gone. He went back. And here's Simon Peter in Acts. Chapter number 2, he's fixing to kick this whole thing off and preach the first sermon about Jesus. Ain't that amazing? Why in the world? His ways, Isaiah 45, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He don't think like me. I'm thankful for that. Amen. He don't do like me. I'm thankful for that. But He does things contrary to what you and I think or say. And He chose old cussing Simon Peter. He chose old denying Simon Peter. Rough Simon Peter. Failure, Simon Peter, to kick his whole entire New Testament off. The Lord ascended in Acts chapter 1. What's next? Surely John's going to come preach. Somebody needs to bring the main preacher to the stage. Somebody needs to bring the big preacher up. John, where you at? No. Give me old Peter. Where's he at? Can you imagine the church talk? What in the world is he letting him preach for? What in the world? Can you imagine what was said? But he got old Simon, didn't he? The constable. The conversion. Verse 32, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. The conversion there. When you get this, when this happens to you, when God puts you through this process, this crushing process, you'll see things a lot clearer. You'll see how weak. You'll see how vulnerable we really are. How we really have to rely on God. And you better listen to me, because I done been down this road and I've done slipped, fell. I've done got the scars. I've got the marks. And I'm telling you, not for my glory. I'm ashamed of everything I've ever done. But I'm going to get to my point, the next point here. And listen, I have failed. And you'd better listen to somebody that's failed, because the devil has not went to bed and he has not stopped. He wants your home. He wants your life. He wants your children's life. I don't care if they're 4 years old or if they're 30 years old. The devil wants them and he wants to destroy you. He don't want to just make you fall. He didn't have intentions for me just to make me fall and look bad. But he had intentions for me to put a gun to my head and take my life. He had intentions for me to be divorced. He had intentions for me to be destroyed. The same is for you. He's not going to be in. He ain't give up. See things a lot clearer, boy. You need him. You need him. You better stay on your knees. Say, oh God. Oh God. You'll be concerned about a lot less. You go through a process of breaking and crushing, a lot of things won't matter no more. A lot of things in this world don't matter to me no more. A lot of things in this world that you that's been through this process, it don't matter. If God can get me through that, listen, He's big enough God that He's going to get me through this, or He'll carry me home. And either way, to be absent with the bodies, to be present with the Lord, listen, you're going to be anxious about very few things. When God gets you sifted, and you'll care a lot more. You're going to have more compassion. You're going to have more compassion on others. As you look across this building, I see faces. Every one of them looks about the same. You look like you wore a slap out. You wish he'd shut up before we can go home. But you know what? I'm not an idiot. I know from over here all the way to here, there's lives all across this building. And if there's life, there's problems. There's situations. And you know what? My situation is more serious than yours is. Your situation is more serious than mine or anybody else's in here. You know why? Because I got to live in my situation. And you know what? As you look at your brothers and sisters in here, take an inventory, look across this building in here. Even though they're smiling faces, even though they're faces that's fake, it's people in here battling real demons. They'll leave this building. And some will go home and some will cry themselves to sleep tonight. I know what I'm saying. Some people in this building probably. Some people may be listening. There's some people that come here Sunday that before they get to church on Sunday, they'll weep and beg God to help them. Because I can't make it no further, Lord. They're battling real demons. And they're hurting. Some of you is fighting real stuff. I want to say this. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Lastly, his commission. Verse 32. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen. Isn't that amazing? Strengthen thy brethren. I'm 48 or 49. I've been in the ministry, I don't know how long, a good while. And when I thought I was strong, thought I could help somebody. Couldn't help nobody. But I hope there's a time in the future to where God gets done with this sifting I'm going through, to where I can help somebody. If it's just this message, if it's just another message, I want to warn somebody. I want to tell somebody. I want to strengthen you. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you, don't go down this road. Don't go down this road. You better do this. You better do that. You better stay on your knees. You better stay in your Bible. I don't care at night if you don't feel like it. If you're just reading to be reading, read it. Word of God's alive. You may not be alive that night. You may be, your mind may be off in la-la land. It may be not focused, but listen, it ain't about your mind. It's about the Holy Writ. Read it. Keep it. Read Psalm 19 and you'll see the 119, you'll see the importance of the Word of God. Strengthen the brother. I want to tell you this tonight, and I'm going to hand it back over. Strengthen the brethren. You that's been through the sifter. You that's been through the storm. God's let you go through that just so you could help somebody. There's people in here that's been through things that I have not been through. I haven't laid neither of my parents to rest. Never had to bury a child. Never had cancer. Nothing real serious. Never had to go through a divorce. Never had to see my children go through a divorce. A lot of things you've been through that you could help me with if the time comes. And God is, hallelujah, God's fit the body together. He's put each member in that body just like it pleased Him. Ain't that a blessing? So when I've got this going on in my life, Tim's been through that 5-10 years ago, and Brother Tim can minister to me. That's the way it works. That's the way God, hallelujah. If you cut your arm, if you cut your hand, it's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to grab it with your other hand. You're going to wrap it. But wouldn't it be a blessing if the church would act like that? When we're wounded, when we're hurting, when we're crushed, when we're bruised, when we've got a crick in our neck, wouldn't it be a blessing if we'd help one another, love one another in that way? Father, we thank You tonight for the good Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that You'd help this Your people. Lord, get honor and glory. I pray, God, that You'd help this church. Lord God, to unite together in these last days, so much the more as we see the day approaching. May we unite together and help one another, love one another, not stomp one another, but love one another, caress one another. We love you tonight. We appreciate your love. Thank you. Help these that's hurting, Lord. Very few of the families that I know is hurting, Lord. I know there's some that's going through hard, hard trials. God, I pray that you would help them. Please help them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.